let's begin. So, yeah, it's a sort of a strange time, as if it hasn't been for all these months. Now, the shops are open, but only some of them and not all of them. This week on Facebook, a pub of my acquaintance announced that it has no intention of reopening on July the 4th because it's not convinced by the science. And so it will sort of open eventually. Shops have opened, but some of them have got a one-way system. Some of them have got somebody on the door making sure that, you know, if your name's not on the door, you're not coming in. So it's all a bit. And then there are the beaches. So the government says to everybody, get into the open air. So everybody does. And then the government goes, no, not like that. Anyway, right. So, and then there are masks. In America, wearing masks or not appears to be a political matter. How did this get to be a political opinion? It's a thing. It's a piece of cloth and it goes, and there it is. Texas and Arizona, the first states to reopen after lockdown, are now the first states to close again because it's all spiking. Young people are not rushing back to gathering things. Anyone who looks at Instagram stories will see that people have been sharing little templates of how to say no, I don't want to go and join your big gathering. And so there is, generally, there's an anxiety. People are worn down. People are worried. People are short of money. People have big, big questions about their future. The whole of the arts industry is just going, what happens next? People are permanently tired. Those of us who've been parents know exactly what that's like. But people are still permanently tired, and it's partly the worry, and it's partly having to think about things that you don't normally think about. Just the daily business of living, there's a lot to it. What's going on, and where is God in all this? That's my big topic for this morning. But I thought we'd start with a song. So let me see if I can share this. It's one we haven't sung in a while, but the words are on screen and you should remember it. And I will rest upon his promise. Patiently, I'll wait. So let us pray. Let us pray together. And what I will do, at the risk of cacophony, is unmute everybody. No, let me see if I can do that. All right. And turns out I can't do that. So, oh, well, hey-ho. Too many people on iPads, that's what it is. Right. No, never mind. Right. So, let's pray. And when you have something you want to pray, please raise your hand. Let me close that. There it is. Raise your hand and unmute yourself, or I will if I can from here. And let's pray.
Father God, I want to give you thanks, Lord, for this fellowship. I want to give you thanks for my brothers and sisters, many of whom I've never seen before, never met before. But I know that they have your heart, Lord, and you have theirs. It is an amazing thing that we have this in common before we've even begun the day properly, Lord, that we know the living God. Just ask you to be with us this morning as we think about you, as we turn our faces to you, Lord, turn our hearts to you. So much in the world to distract us. So much against you, Lord. So much would tell us not to bother, Father God. But we do turn to you this morning. And we say, come, come, Lord, come and be with us. Fill us up, Lord, fill us up to overflowing. Give us just something of your presence, Lord. Will be probably too much for us, Lord, but we ask you that anyway. Lord, teach us, give us your wisdom, give us your love. Give us all of those things that will put the world behind us and you in front of us, Father God. I give you thanks for David, Lord, and I ask you to be with him as he leads us. And just be with us all, Father God. Shower us with only good things as you can do. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Dear God, I'd like to pray for every for all those who have been affected by not just Reading but now Glasgow as well, and help them feel the love and support that they all need, as well as the wider communities in which these events have influenced. So yes, let us all feel as one, sending our love, and if you could help us do that, Lord, thank you very much. Amen.
Amen. Terry.
Father, I just want to thank you that your presence is all around us, no matter where we are, what we're doing, or how we feel. It doesn't change the truth of your presence. And I just want to thank you for those moments that you give us that just lift our spirits and are a blessing to us in the midst of uncertainty and all of the negativity that we can't help but see around us. Father, just thank you that you give us these points of blessing, be it in your very nature, in the world we have around us, in the people that you bring us into contact with. Father, I just want to thank you for your love and your care and your grace and your presence above everything else. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Eric.
Loving Father, we just want to lift our hearts to you this morning, because Lord, you have saved us by your great grace. You put your hand upon us. You've blessed us. You've made us sons and heirs of the living God. And you made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So Lord, this morning, we want to lift our hearts and our voices and praise your great name for what you've done in each of our lives. We just acknowledge that you are the Lord, that you are God. You are the only God, because you are the living God, the creator of the universe. We just want to praise you this morning, Father, in Jesus' great name. Amen.
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 Go for it.
Lord, I just want to thank you for that picture of the eagle this morning, Lord, and that song. And, Lord, it just reminds me that, Lord, you are above all things, and you see the bigger picture, Lord, while we're stuck here looking at all the problems, Lord. And I just want to pray for the arts industry this morning, Lord, particularly Martin and David and Julie's daughter, Lord, and others that might be involved, Lord. Lord, you can turn good things out of devastation, Lord. I just want to pray real blessing on the people in the theatre, in the arts, in the music industries, Lord, and pray that you might bring goodness and you might bring the power and the presence and the reality of your love, Lord, and that they would see you at work, Lord, in difficult situations. And Lord, for each one of us that we have our own struggles, whether we can't see family, whether we're stuck indoors, whether we have fears about this virus, all those things that David mentioned at the start, Lord, whatever those fears and anxieties are, Lord, I pray that you would help us to recognise the words that have been prayed this morning, Lord, and that we can fix our eyes on you. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to each one of us. Thank you for your love, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Let us say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. I've put the words on the screen, but if those words are not the same as the ones that you know by heart, then just say what it is you used to. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us. As we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The power, the glory of God,
forever
and forever.
Amen.
Amen. We think once again of the things that we have lost or seem to have lost at the moment. People that we have lost or that we have lost touch with. Things that seem to be permanent and have slipped away. Those of us in Winchester will know Laura Ashley is opening specifically so that it can close. It seemed to be a permanent part of the high street, and now it's gone. Things that seemed to be permanent before March, all of a sudden they're not. Back in the 1970s, the great Peter Skellen wrote a song, which I'm going to share with you. It's called Hymn Song, and you'll recognise part of the tune. And it talks about earthly pain and eternal hope. The things that we have, that we know, that keep us going, even when it all seems a bit, shortly before he died, Peter Skellen became a minister in the Church of England. This will come as a surprise to absolutely no one. And that ties in the sentiment in that song, the thoughts that there is an eternal hope, whatever it looks like down here at the moment, ties in very much with the passage from this morning, which is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 16. And I'm going to share the screen again just while I read it out loud. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of same mind, and if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Paul's letter to the Philippians. Paul, big man on campus, something of a big name in the Bible. But who is he? What is he doing? And why on earth did he write all those letters? Paul, a man called by God in the most dramatic way possible. There he was, Saul the Pharisee, happily persecuting anyone he met. And God laid him out flat on the road to Damascus and said, I'd like a word. And there he was. There he was, converted, got up, recovered, got back on his horse, metaphorically speaking, and then rushed headlong in precisely the opposite direction from what he'd been doing before with an equal amount of zeal and vigor. And so he writes these letters, and these letters are full of him. These letters are so magnificently characteristic. His highs are higher, his lows are lower, his blues are bluer and his greens are greener, whatever it is. But he's putting his point across in the most Paul way possible. And so he writes to the church in Philippi. And unusually for the churches in the Bible, he's quite pleased with them. This is not Corinth, riven with factions and immorality and arrogance and ignorance. This is not Galatia, tying itself up in knots about the old laws and the new ones and what you do and don't need to believe and what you do and don't need to cut off. This is a letter of encouragement. A letter of encouragement in a time of hardship. Really? Yes, it is. Paul is probably in prison when he writes this. And he suspects that it's probably not going to end well for him. But, in the words of the poet and philosopher Leslie Nielsen, that's not important right now. Paul knows that he can look forward to bigger things. And this is why he says, just before the passage that I read, if anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, member of the people of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew, born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Thank you for asking. Look, it's all here. Paul knows who he is. And he knows that God is with him in all things. And this is what this part of the letter is about. It is all about God. Paul has his credentials. They matter. They're important. They're part of him. But it's all about God. Whatever gains I had, I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. And particularly what he emphasizes here is it's not about the rules. You know, he's done all these things, he's been all these things according to the law, but it's not about the rules. I'm not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. I did all these things, I followed all these rules, I obeyed all these commands, all these precepts, all these things, I did all the right stuff, and still, it's not about me. It's all about God. It's all for God. It's all from God. And Paul says here, I want to know Christ. Everything he's already done, everything he's already been through, I want to know more, he says. I want to know Christ. And in verses 12 to 13, he says, not that I have already obtained this. You know, there's stuff I already know, there's stuff I've already done, but I'm still not there. I don't have this yet. But I will. Forgetting what lies behind, there's still more. Some of you will know my fondness for an old film called The Gumball Rally, made in the 1970s-ish. It's a car chase movie. It's great. It's about a race across America in defiance of the police. And one of the characters is played by the great Shakespearean Raul Julia. And he's an Italian racing driver. And our hero, the everyman figure, gets into the car with him, and Raul Julia preparing himself for the race. The very first thing he does is he reaches up, rips off the rearview mirror, and throws it behind him. And our hero goes, what did you do that for? And he said, what's ahead, I overtake. What's behind, doesn't matter. Forgetting what lies behind, Paul pushes forward. Whatever he's done up to now, whatever he's been up to now, whoever he is up to now, doesn't matter. What matters is now. It's been said by philosophers that there is no such thing as the present, because as soon as you look at it, it's gone. It's now the past. When I said there's no such thing as the present, that was a couple of minutes ago. That's in the past now. I've gone cross-eyed. No, but there is, really. There's a sort of continuous present, which we're in. And what matters to God is what we do now. And now, and now, and now, and now. What matters to God is not what we did. And if it was important, we should have said sorry, or we should acknowledge it, or we can hold on to it. But what matters is not then. What matters is now and what's yet to come. I press on, says Paul. I press on to the goal. Now, Paul talks here about goals and prizes. And I know I said the other week, it's not a competition. And here's Paul talking about prizes and goals. So let me just explain. It's not a competition. It's still not a competition. The prize is available to all. And that's the point. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. As we heard at Pentecost, Peter says it to the crowd. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There isn't a but, there isn't a maybe, there isn't an asterisk. It's everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so it's not a race in that sense. Think of it more, if you will, as a time trial, as in the Tour de France. People are not racing against each other. They're racing against the clock, which in this case is God. You see what I did there? You're heading towards God. And that's all that matters. And one of the things that's very important about the letters is that it's not you singular. It's you plural. It's all of us. It's all of us helping each other along the road. Helping each other towards God. Encouraging each other. Enabling each other. Assisting each other. Discipling each other. Teaching each other. Learning from each other. Being part of this. In the words of the poet and philosopher Bill S. Preston, be excellent to each other. But don't just take my word for it. It's in the book. Paul says it in the letter to the Philippians. In chapter 4, in one of the most famous passages, and quite right too. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. These are troubling times for the Philippians. These are troubling times for Paul. These are troubling times for all of us. But God is here. God is with us. God is out there. To be found and to be found to be with. The Lord is near. And we do this by being with each other, by sharing with each other, by helping with each other, by caring for each other, by loving one another. Paul writes a little bit more in this book. And I once saw this carved into a wall in a church on the Isle of Wight. So that's how important this is. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. It is tough out there at the moment. It is scary and uncertain and not always fun. But God is here. And God is available to us to pray to speak with, to listen to. God is here. Paul knew it then, and we know it now. And if we don't know it, we can go back to the book and find it again and hold on to it. Be encouraged, be enabled, be assisted, be discipled, be carried by the word of God. Tim Vine, the comedian, does a routine based on the poem Footsteps. That thing about looking back and seeing the line of things in the sand. And there's that moment where there's the one line of footprints. And I said to God, why is there only the one line of footsteps? And God said, well, at that moment, I thought it would be funnier if I hopped. God is with us. In the dark, in the light. God is beside us, waiting for us to turn to him and talk with him and listen to him. God is with us in all things. And he does this, we know this, he does through Christ. This is why Paul is always saying, I want to know Christ. I want to know Jesus. And we have his life. And we have his words in the Bible. And we have his spirit. And we have him in our hearts. It all comes from Christ. God put Christ amongst us so that we could be with him and therefore with him. And it works. This is the most wonderful and occasionally terrifying thing. It works. That God is with us. And Christ is with us, and the Spirit is with us and moves amongst us and enables us to do things. And by sharing these experiences with each other, by encouraging each other, it brings us all a bit closer to God. The prize is out there. The prize is for us all. And there is only one way to get there. I am the way and the truth and the life, says Jesus. No one comes to the Father except by me. And if you don't already know this, talk to someone who has something of a clue. And if you're feeling a bit left behind or a bit out of it at the moment because of the way life is, please be encouraged. Please be included. Please be brought closer. Talk to us. Talk to anyone you can see on your screen at the moment. Share with them what you're feeling. and listen to God. We know a song about this, and so I will share that now. Thanks, Mark, for introducing me to Celtic worship last week. I may have bought a CD, and so I will be sharing their version of In Christ Alone. There we are. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, it is only you. And so we turn to you, we look to you. Through the words you gave us when you were here, and through the spirit that you left when you ascended into heaven, be with us, be in amongst us, be in the love that we share with each other, be in the care that we have for each other, be in the encouragement that we show to each other. Be with us as we go out from here to love and to serve you in all we do. For your glory and in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.